All the way from the 1980s to the 1990s, we celebrated here on Lethal Mullet Podcast, your place to celebrate everything from Chuck Norris to Jeff Speakman and more. All the Schwarzenegger, Stallone and Jean-Claude Van Damme films, all in one place. Brought to you by Fandom Podcast Network and hosted by The Lethal Mullet. Welcome back to Lethal Mullet Podcast for episode number 27 here in part two of our look at First Blood, the first of the Rambo films, and of course, one of the greatest action films ever made. Joining me from the UK today is a dear friend of the cast and new to podcasting, Martin Wood. And if you catch the last episode, you'll know that we looked at, obviously, the start of how Rambo really kicked into gear, obviously from David Morrell's novel, how it changed in the casting of John Rambo itself, and of course the roles in that film itself. So stay tuned, folks. We've got more coming for you here today to wrap up how this film not only became such a classic, but how it influenced the entire action genre. All right, folks, here's where you can find The Lethal Mullet on the web. You can catch Lethal Mullet Podcast on FPN's master feed on fpnet.podbean.com. You can also catch me, The Lethal Mullet, at Twitter and Instagram on this Twitter handle at The Lethal Mullet, and also the same on Instagram. Make sure you go and check out all the great shows on the master feed. Of course, Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast, and of course, Culture Clash, your weekly dose of pop culture, all on the one, the only Fandom Podcast Network. Me too. Yeah, no, I agree. I'm, you know, and to be honest, probably the fourth one is my least favourite, because there's parts at the start that are really good. There's parts in the middle that sort of muddled a little bit here. There's too much going on. The guy from The Hobbit in it, it's really a great guy in it. He's the dude that hassles Rambo on the boat. Graham McTavish, yeah, from Outlander. Fantastic. You know, this big Scottish lad, he's going, "Oh, I've seen that thousand-yard stare anywhere." You know, he really ribs into him, you know. And again, becomes later on down the line somebody you root for, because he's such a fun dude when it all goes to hell.
That's where you got the character, buy into a character. Fantastic stuff.
That's right. And of course, then, you know, it all hits the fan at the end. You know, Stallone wanted to pick up that Mar-2, or what we call the Mar-Deuce, the M2 Bradley, the huge, huge machine gun, or the Brownies, I should say. Yeah. And just goes to town, like literally probably decimated half of whatever it was, that location. You know, and that's again, led to the great films like Expendables, which I think are far superior films. Again, maybe Stallone should have directed all those.
Yeah, he's drawn on his past and all his experience, his friendships that he's made there, and pulled everyone in just to make a sort of climax of everything that they've done.
Oh, yeah, big time. Now, there's a friendly rivalry back in the 80s, which, again, was something that was purely business. They were actually very good friends. That is, of course, Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger. They had competing movies at the time. And the other movie was, of course, John Matrix. So you had John Rambo and John Matrix. And a number of times you would see, people say, "Oh, Schwarzenegger would wipe him out." "Oh, no, Stallone would wipe him out, man. I'm telling you now." You know, and
this is the battle between the big guys.
Yeah, how many videos on YouTube can you see where people have mashed up scenes from Rambo 2 and Predator, where Dutch Schafer's running with his guns and, you know, what the hell is out there? What's got Billy so spooked? And then you see, you know, Rambo running around, half camouflaged and stuff like that. Again, it's the age-old thing. What would happen? I think the thing is, we still need that Expendables 4 to bring them back together, but to have the two characters, obviously, play in the same team.
Yeah, not just for a clip or two, to give them a full film together. That would have been fantastic.
And they've really built up to it. I mean, that third one was garbage. You know, bringing the young Expendables. The whole point is that they're old, you know. I think they thought that the second one didn't make quite enough money for the film company, so they decided to do that way. And the thing is, they don't have half the charm. A lot of them were real-world MMA fighters and stuff like that, perfectly great for what they do. But that's the idea, is these are retired action guys.
Yeah, those, as you say, the whole thing, the Expendables, it's built upon the charm and the love that you've got for those old action characters.
Oh, yeah.
I suppose Jason Statham's as new as you get, really, in there.
Yeah, and it kind of, like, he represents those newer guys, you know. I think it's just a shame that we had, Van Damme for such a short time in there, because, again, he knows these guys so well, very good friends with all of those. And, we just get a scene where he's literally, playing Villain, which obviously is French for villain.
You see him interviewed. I mean, he just seems mad as a hatter. I think it'd be hilarious to have him in there for a full film.
Oh, he is one of those very, in the real world, quite out there personalities. He's very, what you see is what you get. Out here in Australia, he did a convention, or a very short one anyway, on the Gold Coast, teaching his Shotokan karate. And he did it to a stunt community that work at Movie World. So these are the guys that worked on Aquaman and worked on Thor, Ragnarok, Kong Skull Island, all that sort of stuff. And what's interesting is Van Damme has really turned from being somebody that was a bit of a rock star, I think, in the 80s, you know. Did all the drugs, did all the partying, all that sort of stuff. It was a bit of a... probably a bit of a pain in the neck to some extent, and realised it, turned his life around and has gone so heavy into his training. Now look at the guy. Looks absolutely fantastic.
You wouldn't pick him up for his age, no way.
No way. He's
better condition than ever.
And Van Damme is such a positive, guy. Like as far as, like, he's out there doing video all the time, doing lots of social stuff on the networks. Still making movies all the time and stuff like that. And I think that's the thing, is he's gone from the one end of the spectrum to the other. And, I think whether it be himself or his family, his kids are now out there doing movies and doing a fantastic job, as far as I see it. And doing all these Universal Soldier sequels too, getting, some really great people behind it too. You got some British talent coming through now with... some of the great martial artists and stuff that are involved in those films. But to get Lundgren and him back together, those two really got along well. And, of course, they did that thing where they went to the Oscar party or something like that, or the Emmy Awards, and they put on a fake fight, just to get the papers going. And if you watch carefully, you can actually see footage of them laughing their asses off later on, having a drink each, saying, "Oh, they got the paper talking."
You just got thrown that I must break you.
Yeah. So, I mean, good on him, and I think that's, he doesn't get enough of a chance to really showcase that in the movies these days, which is unfortunate, they don't give him a bit more of a chance. For you folks that haven't seen it, back in 2009, he put out a movie called JCVD, which is kind of semi-doco. It's like a Die Hard in a post office, or a bank, I think it was. And I thought that was fantastic. It was really, really well put together, and... his friend, well, I wouldn't call it friendly rivalry because Seagal hates him, but the rivalry between the two of them was addressed in that movie. And it's interesting that it's JCVD who has no hate in him. He is such a, he said, I'd love to open a dialogue with Seagal one day and maybe do a movie.
Fantastic. It's brilliant stuff, really. You never know what's going on behind the scenes with them, really. Just what they give you publicly and what they do in real life. You're never quite sure.
No, that's right.
But Jean-Claude Van Johnson was, that was great laugh, that was. Shame it only lasted one series.
Yeah, and it's interesting that Ridley Scott put that together.
No way.
True story. Yep, it's Scott Free Productions. Yep, it's put together, produced by him for Amazon, and it was really good. I really enjoyed it. Again, we're getting some really good shows like that, and why isn't anyone getting Michael Dudikoff to do, American Ninja the TV series? I mean, crikey, those last couple with the other actor, and then got them two back together. David Bradley and him in the same movie. Of course, we're not talking about the Doctor Who David Bradley. We're talking about the ass-kicking karate champion David Bradley. Great. Oh, I think he's great too. And check out American Samurai, folks, if you haven't seen that too. It's starring totally David Bradley. Again, you know, get these guys out, get them doing a series, you know. Crikey, they're still super fit, you know, like, especially Van Damme, far out. But, of course, he's done the Kickboxer sort of reboot sequel thing that's come out the last couple of times. Dave Bautista in one of them, as well as Tong Po. And they were actually pretty good. He's just got basically playing a French dude out in the woods. And the main guy comes up, "Hey, do you know how to do karate?" And, you know, he's like, yes, no karate, you know, and literally shows him, but he's a true master. The fact that this guy is still doing the splits, the kicks, everything, it's just amazing. Mm. Now, my hat's off to the Jean-Claude Van Damme. Mate, you are a bloody champion.
That's not him not doing the splits. It'd be like changing his autograph. That's what he's always done. It's what he's known for.
Oh, yeah.
It was, Christ, going back, was it like Black Eagle as well? He was just doing the splits straight away. No retreat, no surrender.
Oh, yes.
He might not have been breakdance, but he was just in the background anyway, at least.
I mean, now, why can't we get Jean-Claude to go back to those movies, buy the rights out of whoever owns those now? I think it's MGM owns Bloodsport, and I mean, they must own Kickboxer. See, Bloodsport you can't get here in Australia on Blu-ray. You can get it on DVD. You can't get half them on Blu-ray, but they've just released Kickboxer, Cyborg. They've also, I'm pretty sure it's all through MGM out here, but you've also got Double Impact, which is just being released. And I look at it, these films were, you know, they weren't just martial arts films. They were fun little movies. The rewatch factor was there.
Cause I went to the cinema to see all of those.
What is the DMAC? Daft Touch, you know, all that stuff, you know, the, okay, USA, you know, hey, Frankie, what is this? You know, like, you got Uncle Frankie, the dude from, you know, Tango and Cash and all those Clint Eastwood movies in it.
That Bloodsport movie was just touched you right there. Brilliant stuff.
Brilliant. Really, it really is.
And Kickboxer as well. Goddamn toothpicks, man. My legs. Goddamn toothpicks.
And, you know, I mean, Dennis Alexio in that one too, playing the brother. Great fighter, you know, and had that great snapping back fist back in the day. If you folks remember back in the day, look, I used to be a stylist myself, and he was somebody to watch. I mean, there's some really fantastic fighters back in that day before all this new style of fighting and obviously the cage matches that they do now. But what's interesting too, that these films had so much music as well. So for those that don't know, the Touch, which was, you know, with the Transformers movie by Stan Bush, was actually... you know, he was chosen to do the song for Bloodsport, you know, so, you know, all that's comes together. I'm ready, my heart's on fire, you know. It was great, you know, always, you know. But what's great too about that vintage is that, you know, some of these were based on real people. Now, one of those is Frank Dukes. Have you ever looked up Frank Dukes?
Oh, yes, I have. I very much. Straight away, when I was a kid, hired out the video, and the first thing I did was to go on research, do everything I could to find out pictures, bit about Frank Dukes.
So I've got to ask you, do you think he's legit, or do you think it's just a well-orchestrated, great, you know... I don't know what to make of it.
I hope it's legit. It doesn't seem legit, but I hope it's legit.
Look, you know, there's so many, you know, look, again, you know, I hats off to anyone that studies martial arts. But when you got somebody who looks like, you know, they mean the business, I think he's legit, like, no mucking around. Looks the real McCoy. And I mean,
a big fella, seems to be in the shape and everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I hope it's legit, because it sounds like something I want to be legit.
That's right. I mean, look, I studied Bujinkan years ago in the 2000s and late 90s. And, you know, so we, you know, I got into that by reading the books by Stephen K. Hayes and a lot of the other instructors that are around at the time. And, you know, so Frank Dukes, his story, his, you know, styling and Duke's Rule, all that sort of stuff really interested me. So I found out what I could and, you know, really got into it. Hey, this dude really looks like he, you know, not only is big enough to rattle anybody when it comes to, you know, martial arts and stuff like that, but he certainly looks the real McCoy with everything. So it's interesting to look back on those guys. And even like Van Damme for years was given, you know, oh, this guy's not the real leader. And look, the footage is out there now of him actually doing it.
Constantly. Every time you hear anyone from him. I did jiu-jitsu and karate for years as well. Mm-hmm. All the time they'd always be talking about that. Oh, Van Damme was just a ballerina who went into just, you know, he'd do the splits and he went into fighting to make more money off it. But as you say, the more and more you see him, and especially now, he seems like he's genuine.
Of course, of course. What gets me too is the old footage from Belgium when he was training is out there now, and you can see that he was doing those very kicks you see in Bloodsport in the championships, knocking people out, or at least get, you know, give him a death slam. I mean, the whack of those kicks would have been horrendously powerful back in the day. But that, which brings us to his buddy, Dolph Lundgren, who's, you know, Kyokushin Kai black belt by I don't know how many Dans. But and no, we're not talking Dan Hadley. Sorry, Dan. We're talking about Dans.
Dan!
Hello, Dan.
Dan!
That's that Steve Coogan gif where he goes, hello, Dan! Dan! But, you know, he's the real McCoy. Like, you know, he put Stallone in the hospital. Stallone's not a real boxer. He will always say that. But in comes this big, huge dude in Rocky IV playing the Russian Ivan Drago, the boxer. And obviously, he is the real McCoy. Kyokushin Kai is the closest in martial arts that you get into boxing, except they use their legs as well as their arms. And if you watch any of those K1 fighters or any of those amazing Kyokushin Kai black belts, mate, you're going to see some real hard blows. And the thing is, they're conditioned to take the hit. Oh, yeah, big time, big time. Now, you might know a guy that came around in the late 70s and early 70s as well, I suppose, internationally, with a Street Fighter. And, of course, we're talking about Sonny Chiba. Sonny Chiba, one of his styles is Kyokushin.
See, now, you beat me. I don't know Sonny Chiba.
Oh, wow. You got to check out my last episode.
That many martial art films, it's ridiculous. Oh, yeah. No, he's not one I'm really familiar with. So I'm looking forward to checking out the podcast.
So if you've watched Kill Bill, you'll see that he plays Hattori Hanzo, the 19th or whatever it is.
Good grief.
And that's him in the sushi bar. You know, he's got the little troublemaker partner that's going around, you know, making all the food and stirring up Beatrix kiddo. What's funny about the past, obviously he played Hattori Hanzo on TV in Shadow Warriors, which in Japan was called Kage no Gunden. And like in Britain, they do a number of series. They're not really seasons. They're different series, but the same sort of thing, whether it's Doctor Who, whatever. And they do the same in Japan.
Just keep it short and turn them over.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that keeps the quality because your budgets. It's all about budgets, you know. I mean, BBC isn't exactly known for huge budgets. You can.
What I always like about the short runs is that you're not trying to overextend the story. You're not trying to find story where there is none. You keep it short and you actually fulfil the plan that you've set out there originally. It's great stuff.
It really is. We're just waiting for the time where they actually hold off a few Doctor Who seasons, save the money, save the coin, save the cash, and do a huge one and go, well, I think we might need to get somebody from the United States to come over here and show us how to do a Doctor Who. And, of course, they'll change it because they need Dr. Schwarzenegger. No, no, with Cybermen. No.
Quick, get to the TARDIS.
Get to the TARDIS now. We're going back in time. Prehistoria. You know, like it's, you know, there's so much you do. But what I think too is great is, you know, Dolph Lundgren actually does celebrity bouts now. And he did one with Oleg Tugtarov. Now, if you don't know who Oleg Tugtarov is, he was in Predators, with that cast that go thrown into a predator's hunting ground, a planet. And here's the dude with the minigun, the big huge unit that's just going like, don't touch the leaves, there's blood on them.
Christ almighty. No, I never realised that either.
So he, I'm pretty sure he was also in that movie with Robert De Niro and who was it? It was Robert De Niro and the guy from Saving Private Ryan that had the BAR, the Ed Burns, that's the guy, Ed Burns. And it was him and the guy from Hellboy. The bad guy from Bulletproof Monk, there you go. Even easier. Carl Roden, I think his name is. Anyway, but he was the guy with the camera going, should I shoot this? This looks good. And you got Robert De Niro goes, what about these shoes? These shoes. You know, like he's going through his whole repertoire there. You know? Again, a great fighter in his own right. And the two had a celebrity bout. And I mean, Oleg's tall, but he's certainly not 6'6 like Lundgren is. And, you know, they're slugging it out. Best Lundgren movie out there is, of course, Dark Angel, better known as I Come in Peace.
Of course, shooting the CDs, fantastic stuff.
Yeah, isn't that great?
There's a weapon, here we go. A weaponized music.
That's right. I tell you what, there's a page out there right now that's it's a French one, and it's advertising this book that's come out. I don't know if there's an English language version of this yet, but it's about the 1989 Punisher movie. Now, this is technically the first Marvel Universe movie.
Yeah. I know that I've seen a few people like battling that, saying between the Punisher and Howard the Duck as to which is the first one. I mean, I've always kind of been the Punisher.
Yeah, well, you also got Howard the Duck. The one that, you know, often not talked about. I'm actually a big fan of that movie. I quite like it. I mean, it's a goofy movie, but, you know, if you're going to go official, you may as well go all the way and go Punisher. Now, folks, if you haven't got the new Punisher Blu-ray that's been put out, it's been released in Australia. It is fantastic. You get a work print of the Punisher, so it's a better version. You actually see Frank Castle's past, his wife. And if you want an eye into what it was like in suburban Australia in the 1980s with the old, oh, where are you going? What are you wearing? You're wearing your thongs? You got all this sort of stuff. It's all in there. Lewis Gossett Jr., obviously, big in that one too. And yeah, they must have done a couple of movies back to back because they also did a movie called Cover Up together where I think it was Lundgren and him in a sort of like a, I suppose, a little spy thriller.
Yeah. So crazy stuff. What always threw me was the knives with the skulls on rather than the T-shirt with the skull on. And also sort of praying naked in a subway.
God, do you hear me? Why the innocent punishing the guilty alive? Where is vengeance? Where is punishment? They're here now, in me. Thanks for listening to the episode tonight. And we'll catch you next time on Lethal Mullet Podcast. Here on Fandom Podcast Network.